It's the Escape Artist Podcast at DonkeyJawProjects.com, hosted by yours truly, Marshall Couture, also known as Black.
We make, relate, create, it's change harness. The soul within the comics and movies that they market. Activating people's imaginations, the target, work the hardest. With passion and heart, it's Escape Artist.
Hey, what's up, y'all? It's Marshall Couture, also known as Plex. And you're listening to the Escape Artist Podcast, hosted at DonkeyJawProjects.com. Yeah. So, how you guys doing? I'm doing all right. Wednesday, wonderful Wednesday, some like to call it hump day. You guys will be getting this, hopefully I'll get it up on Sunday so you can have it for Monday next week. But yeah, just thinking about some things. I hope you guys enjoyed the last episode. I know it was a little bit rough because there was like echoes and stuff, and it also because it was like a experiment and whatnot, so it was a little different. But and if you clicked it off because the echo was too much, I hope you're listening today to this one, and you didn't just totally, you know, unsubscribe because I put up one that had some echoes in it. I don't know. I thought that the echoes were gone because the beginning didn't have it so bad, and then after I was listening to it a little bit, I realized it was still there, but I couldn't really fix it. So, sorry. I try. It seems like every time I record, there's always, especially when I do an interview, there's always some new thing that I didn't think of that, you know, I probably could have avoided if I recorded it differently. So I'm learning. But I don't know, maybe it's the program I'm using to record. Hopefully not, because I don't want to spend, you know, money on another one, you know. I used to use Pamela, and I don't know, maybe I can go and see if my, like, I don't know, I bought it one time, maybe I can still get it again back, but it was under another account, or maybe I can try to sign back into the old account. But shoot, it's like so hard to, that's why I actually use my wife's Skype account, because hers just, we used to use hers a lot, and it's just the one that's automatically open. And the thing with Skype is if you, like, put in the password wrong a few times when you're trying to, like, put the password in, if you don't remember it, then it'll, like, make it so you can't access it for a while. And it just becomes such a hassle. And, you know, I don't use Skype enough to remember my password. I tend to use the same password for a lot of things, especially when it's just like something not like a super secure thing that I need to worry about. You know, something like PayPal, I would, you know, put, you know, try to mix that up a bit. But a password for, you know, Skype or Facebook or, I don't know, some of these little things, I tend to use the same password. So, you know, you would think I'd be able to figure it out, but for some reason, I don't know, every time, I've always had difficulties trying to sign in. Anyways, that's not an interesting thing to talk about. But yeah, I don't know, maybe I could go back to trying to use a Pamela, but I remember Pamela wasn't all that great either to use, so I don't know. I guess I'll keep trying to use this one for now that I'm using. And I would tell you what it is, but I'd have to kill you. No, but I just don't. It's like a weird generic name. It's like, I think it's literally called like MP3 recorder or something. It's like about as generic as you can get. So yeah, that was a little bit of an issue last week, unfortunately. And I wish her Kat's voice came in better so you could hear it a little better. And But I think it was, all in all, if you did make it through it, I think there was definitely some takeaways, and it was a fun experiment, you know. So, if you did make it through, hopefully you enjoyed it. let's see, what do we got for updates? I'm actually going to have to pause it pretty soon, but let's see. I've been kind of in a funk lately, especially the last 2 days. Today, you know, Monday and Tuesday, I don't know, I haven't even worked on my comic, and I'm just like, I have been sketching, like, I've been throwing up these, like, you know, I started using the Sketchy app again, for a little bit, and it's been fun. It's just like an easy go-to thing, you know. When I don't feel like drawing, if I can just go there, and usually there's some people who have asked me to sketch them, so I can just go to those specific people. But, you know, I can, I don't know, drawing from reference to me is like a no-brain exercise, sort of. I mean, you still have to kind of think it out a little bit, but it's something that's fun, and it's something that I'm constantly learning to do better and better. And, you know, I have an issue with proportion, though. Like, I mean, they always come out pretty good, and if you just look at the drawing, it looks fine. But if you look at the drawing compared to the reference, there's definitely, I'm certainly not getting perfection with the proportions. It's always very difficult for some reason. You know, an eye is too big, or something isn't tilted exactly the way it is in the picture. It's so weird. Like, I try to draw what I see, and I try to map it out with, like, construction lines, too. So I think that's probably the best way to get the proportion right. But it all comes down to discipline, I think, and patience is a big part of it. And for me, it's like I'm trying to go fast because I want to learn how to draw quicker. And I always end up noodling on the details and stuff, and it becomes kind of difficult. Yeah, so it's always weird trying to get the proportion right when I'm trying to sketch from reference. And I think what I was saying is sometimes I try to go too fast, and I think that getting it right, like I watch Jeff Lafferty, as I've mentioned many times, and I notice, I'm like, oh man, how come I can't get to that level, sort of? I mean, not that I'm trying to get really to do what he's doing. I don't necessarily want, I mean, and he's not even doing like hyper realism, but he's definitely doing, you know, a decent amount of levels above what I'm doing. When I'm doing these, I'm usually just, you know, especially just trying to sketch it out, but I don't really necessarily want to get that realistic looking. It's just not what I'm interested in for me. But, you know, but one thing I do see from watching him and some of these other guys is that, you know, they're taking their time, you know, they're not rushing through anything, you know. I mean, they're trying to get the stuff done, but I think he knows, like, how long it takes him to do stuff for the most part, and so he knows he's going to have to take, you know, this many hours to kind of really work certain things out and whatnot. And then you'll see he kind of goes back and forth. Sometimes if he feels like he's stuck, he'll stop a commission and work on something else for a little while and then come back to the commission later, type of thing. So he can kind of look at it with fresh eyes and, you know, really get in there. And, you know, I noticed too, he lifts up his pen a lot, like, and this might seem like a silly thing, but like he'll put like a little dab of like highlight in there or something or whatever it is he's working on, and then he'll like, he constantly is like lifting up his pen, and I think that's part of his like his rhythm and his discipline, like just put a little bit and then, you know, discipline yourself to lift your pen up so you're not just constantly putting lines in and not taking that little extra second to kind of think, okay, wait, you know, let me make sure I do it right, you know, type of thing. And that comes with time, that comes with the it depends on what kind of look you're trying to get and whatnot as well. But the thing I want to achieve is, you know, kind of, I don't really know. I mean, I want to be able to draw realistic, somewhat like comic book realism. And I'm not saying that's how I'm going to do my comics or anything, but I want to be able to do that. You know, I want to have that skill where I can knock that out. And I mean, that's kind of a whole different idea because you're not drawing from reference as much. I certainly am not going to. Some people do draw a lot from reference, even in their comic books, but that takes a lot of time. I mean, gathering the reference material does take a lot of time. I mean, even the way I do it, I sit on the couch while I'm watching TV, and if I'm doing something from like a movie or a music video, I'll just, you know, turn the volume all the way down on my phone and then put the video on, and I'll try to pause it at different parts and capture a cool pose or whatever it is that I'm looking for, or a cool face or something that's not too blurry. And then I'll take a screen capture on my phone, and then I'll draw right from my phone like that. But sometimes I'll take a bunch of screen captures, and then it's hard to decide which one to do, and it takes time. So just that, I mean, that's not even like super, you know, intense reference searching, you know. That'll take like an hour sometimes, maybe, if I, you know, to decide what I want to do, you know. So, I don't know. Plus, I'm watching TV with my wife, so, and engaging with her and having dinner and doing all that stuff. So, one thing with me is, I mean, it would be different if I did this for a living. Obviously, I'd be sitting down at my desk more and doing it, but for the most part, any art that you see come from me, except for like these bigger comics that I'm spending time every day a little bit, but other than that, almost all my art, if I can't do it while sitting on the couch, it's just not going to get done, because that's the time I spend with my wife. And, you know, in my opinion, family, it comes first, you know, with everything. Family's number one. And a lot of times family knocks out the other things I might do, you know, especially when it comes to music and art, because it's not my full-time work, you know. If it was my full-time work, then I could maybe justify taking some, but still, I'd try to keep somewhat regular hours so that I'd still have the time with my wife, and I'd probably still be drawing and stuff while I'm like sitting there watching TV, because, you know, I just like, that's what I'd like to do, you know. I don't really care about TV. Like, if I never watch another TV show in my life, I'd be fine. But that's what my wife and I like to do together, so generally a lot of times, so that's what we do. And that's kind of, you know, that's what I think of it as, spending time with her is partially. Man, I'm meandering here. Anyways. So, yeah. That's pretty much, I mean, when I'm going through a funk, I still want to be drawing and stuff, so, you know, I'll break out the Sketchy app, or I'll just draw something from reference, and it's kind of, it's almost meditative, like, that's fun drawing to me, you know, but, you know, I'm trying to work out how to use structure and draw from imagination more, because that's, to me, is tougher, you know. Some people don't approach art that way. I mean, the traditional way of approaching art is more from reference, usually, and, you know, construction lines. It's crazy. Like, I didn't realize until my buddy Will actually told me, because he went to, like, art school. You know, a lot of professors and stuff, like, they kind of look down on construction line type of stuff. They say, you've got to draw what you see. And I have been taught, you know, I've gone to classes and stuff and been taught to draw what you see as well. And I love that. Like, I think that's such a fun way to do it. And there's so much, I don't know, to learn about drawing. Like, a lot of times we don't draw what we see, we draw what we think we see. And that's not, that's why our drawings come out not so as well. But there, you know, there's times when we'll draw, like, a line, a contour line, and that contour line isn't even there, like, in what you see, because a lot of times contour lines kind of vanish and then appear and reappear and disappear, reappear, disappear. You know, if you say, if you're looking at a picture of a person, because the background and how the contrast works and all that stuff. So and we just tend to draw the whole shape, you know, especially if we're not drawing from reference. So, I don't know. Anyways, the point I was going to make is that it's really, you know, some of these professors or whatever don't, they kind of look down on drawing, on any kind of illustrative type of work, or, you know, drawing with construction lines. And I think that construction lines are very useful, personally. And I think that's the only way I really am going to be able to work out proportion better, you know? And I've been trying to use them, and it's so weird because I feel like I'm getting worse at drawing. And I actually had an email situation with Luis Escobar. You know, he sends out these newsletters, and I read them. And for his the drawing website, I think it's called thedrawingwebsite.com, where he's like writing his book or whatever about drawing. And but he sends out a newsletter pretty often. I think once a week, and or no, it might be more than that sometimes, but. You know, sometimes I'll reply to his email, and he always responds. He's awesome about that, and he's very responsive on social media and all that stuff, too. But, you know, I asked him, you know, told him, you know, it's kind of weird trying to use these construction lines and the difference between drawing from reference and drawing from your imagination, and I feel like I'm, like, almost getting worse, like... by trying to learn this stuff better, like the construction lines and the fundamentals and gesture and proportion and all that stuff. And he said that's actually normal, like that does happen. That's kind of how you know you're learning. And so I'm like, okay, well, that's cool, but, you know, every once in a while I have to, like, draw something from in kind of my old way, just to remind myself that I can draw okay, you know, because I'll be using these construction lines. And the thing is with construction lines, that's weird, like, if you know, the typical shape of the skull, I mean, that's basically what, especially with heads, you know, the construction lines kind of map out the skull, sort of, like, that's what the face is built on, is obviously the skull. So with the construction lines, you're kind of working out those shapes. So to me, it's weird because the construction lines are kind of the same for every individual, technically, but not every skull looks the same or anything, and that's what gives us our different face looks. That's a part of it. Also, just obviously the muscle and the flesh and whatever other combinations that just happen to be unique. We all have unique faces, you know. So when the construction lines are the same, I have a hard time not, like, knowing, okay, so I got the construction lines, but not every face shape really is the same. So how do I translate that onto the same construction lines. Like, I feel like if I'm drawing from imagination, all my faces are going to look the same. Like, how do I make that variation? You know what I mean? So, I don't know. It's all stuff you got to kind of work out by doing, I guess. And then, you know, trying to do the construction lines, I kind of feel like I'm, I don't know, I feel almost bored, like, because I don't know how to make variations with it. And also, like, how do you make an open mouth or a different shape mouth or something? You know, usually all these studies for them, they're always closed mouth. And, like, the facial expressions, like the eyes, and, like, how do you use the construction lines to build off of to do that stuff? So, trying to work it out. I think, I keep trying to go into that Sketchy app and, draw, like, fast, like, because they say that's, like, one of the things to kind of get to know how to do stuff, do a bunch of them really fast. And so I go in and I try to do it, keep it simple, and then I just always end up noodling around with it no matter what I do. So I have to literally start using a timer. And I think once I use the timer a bunch of times, I'll start to, like, get that motor skill memory or that physical memory. You know what I mean? So, like, I'll understand what it is like to do it, that, you know, a bunch of drawings really quick. And I'll have that rhythm kind of set, so I'll know what it feels like. And I think that's part of drawing, is kind of knowing, getting used to what it feels like to do certain things. The muscle memory. So, you know, so I just got to do it. It's so weird, like, I tell myself I know what I gotta do, and I get all excited and inspired, and then I come home, and, oh, I gotta make dinner, I gotta do this and this, and by the time I sit down and eat, you know, and then by the time I sit down, I'm, like, tired and not inspired anymore, you know? It's like, ah! And then I have to work that all up again while I'm trying to watch TV, and, I mean, I know people will probably say, well, don't watch TV. Well, I don't really care about the TV stuff. I just, it's on, you know, but I'm usually drawing, you know, anyways, and, you know, that's not really the solution for me. I can't just draw, like, say, okay, I'm done with all that, and then just say, okay, now I'm going to shut myself into a room and draw. Night times are time, is that's the time I spend with my wife, you know, and I think that's important. And, you know, that's why it's a struggle, and that's why, you know, the one thing that has been working in that realm of things is, you know, doing the 100 Days of Comics, which I kind of been flubbing on a lot. I'm still doing it, but I'm going to go to the 100 days for sure, but I've just been taking days off here and there. But, anyways, the point is, like, just getting home. And sometimes I'll at least take a shower. I gotta feed the cats at least first. But then I'll get home. And first thing I'll do, though, like, right after I do those couple essential things, is I'll sit down and draw. And I'll usually start dinner, too, at the same time. But see, I'm, like, multitasking. I'm always multitasking, which is not what people recommend if you want to, like, actually do something with anything. But, you know, just sit down and draw for 30 minutes. And that's been working. Like, I have been getting, you know, a little bit of alone time to do that, like, if I do it that way. So, but, you know, I pretty much have to keep it to 30 minutes for the most part. Or sometimes I go a little longer for, like, an hour or something. But, so that kind of works. And also, I try to get some stuff done on Saturday and Sunday. But, oh man, that's a whole nother freaking thing. Like, there's so many things I have to do. So, like, I'll end up doing, like, computer website stuff or getting the podcast put together and, you know, uploaded. And then when I'm done with that, like, it's like I just want to get out of the house for a little bit. So I'll go you know, grab a coffee, run a couple errands or something. Then I get back and hopefully I have time to do a little art. You know, just, I don't know. It always ends up being, like, kind of hard. But anyways, I don't know why I'm complaining, because I don't feel complaining. All right, so that's kind of what I've been dealing with art. Been a little bit of a funk, but today I feel better, you know. I don't know why. I just had to kind of roll through those couple days, and hopefully that'll last till tonight, and I'll be able to get a lot of art done. I mean, I have been still working on stuff. I finished my second eye painting, and I got one more to do. This is it's a gift I'm making for my mom, actually, for her birthday. And the last one is, hopefully, I think it's not going to be, you know, not that the other ones were really that hard either. They were just mostly fun. It was cool. It was the first time I messed around in this last painting with airbrush on, like, paper, you know, with regular paints and stuff, to kind of make a painting with airbrush. I've always used the airbrush for toys and stuff. So this was fun, and I don't know that I was super successful, but, you know, for the most part, the eye came out cool, and I know my mom will like it. My wife wants me to give it to her instead, because she thinks it's so cool. And it didn't translate very well to the internet, though. It kind of comes out a little washed out, which is kind of weird. But the scan came out all right, though. The scan is kind of cool, but the pictures I took came out weird. And also, I kind of messed up a little bit of the over the eye, like the eyebrow area and stuff. It didn't really come out quite as much as cool as I would like it to be, or as correctly proportionately, but I don't think people notice that too much. I think I notice it more than other people, and maybe an artist would notice it more, but I think most people, I think, will just kind of dig it, you know, and my mom, I think, will really dig it. So it came out well otherwise. So there's that second one's done. So the third one is, like, it's going to be, I think I might throw a little splash of paint on there, but for the most part, it's going to be just like a drawing on toned paper. You know, I'm trying to do a few little variations, and she can put them in different places in her house. I'm going to, you know, frame them up a little bit. You know, I'll just get some somewhat cheapo frames, but, you know, it'll make it look nicer. And she can change the frames if she wants to. She probably will. That's fine. But, yeah, so I'm kind of doing a lot of gift art for people. You know, August comes around, and it seems like everybody's birthday is in August. My mom's birthday, my stepfather's birthday, which I mean, I'm not doing anything for him probably, but, my brother's birthday actually is, but I haven't talked to him in years, unfortunately, not of my own choice, so that's not gonna be anything, but there's still more birthdays. My, nephew's birthday is in August, and my sister-in-law's birthday is in August, and then, you know, midway through September, you know, my wife and her sister, they're twins, their birthday is in September. So, you know, there's like a huge cluster of birthdays, and I'm also trying to get ready for this convention that's coming up in the end of August. Like, everything's at the end of August, so that's always fun. So there's that. So yeah, I've been doing a lot of gift art. Luckily, I'm getting a lot of it done early. Hopefully, I'll get it all done before the time comes and still be able to finish up some projects and things for the convention. I want to get the Glyph comic done, but this has been a long update session. So what I'm going to do is start getting into topic. And hopefully this is still recording. Yes, it looks like it is. All right, so topic. The topic for today is, basically, I don't really have a title yet. Hopefully I'll have a cool title by the time I post it. But But basically the idea of creating art for art's sake, basically, and the friction kind of between that and, you know, money tensions and trying to do these things for a living, like, and I know if you listen to this podcast, you might be thinking, here he goes again, pretty much on the same topic, but hopefully this is a different thing, and I'm trying to make it a little bit of a different thing, and the only reason I'm talking about this specific aspect of it is I've just been thinking about it a lot, and the thing that kind of really sparked it was, well, two things. One is the funk that I've been going through, and actually three things. The funk I've been going through, and it makes me, and the War of Art book, and then also I watched recently the Bill Watterson DVD, or I should say the Calvin and Hobbes documentary, the one that's up on Netflix. I don't know why it even is called the Bill Watterson documentary, because it's more about Calvin and Hobbes than Bill Watterson. I don't know. I mean, it is about him. You can't help but have it be about him, but it focuses a lot on the craft and aesthetic and stuff, I guess. I don't know. Anyways, you know, and the thing though that it is about Bill Watterson that got me thinking, and I've had some discussion with Mike Vlad, we were talking about it, and this whole idea of, like, Bill Watterson created Calvin and Hobbes, and he's famous for, well, one, being one of the last, like, comic strip, like, newspaper comic strips that were big and that really expanded the genre and things like that, or the medium, I should say. And, I mean, there's a lot of people who have done amazing things, especially in the digital, you know, comic strip stuff. And people have come after that have done really cool things and stuff, but he's the one who, like, I don't know, that's what they're saying, at least on the DVD. I don't follow comic strip stuff enough to really know the nuances, you know, of the different artists and, like, what, you know, the industry side of things and business stuff. I follow it a little bit, and I've always been a fan of it, but not as much as, you know, comic books and stuff, so I had never, like, focused a lot on them. I did have, like, you know, I grew up, I had, like, Garfield books and you know, Calvin and Hobbes. There was a Far Side book that I remember. I think we had a Peanuts book, maybe. And, you know, I used to love reading those, and I would try to copy their art and stuff. This is when I was, like, really young and stuff. So I was a fan of it, but I never was, like a fanatic fan. I never this is what I want to do for my life, like I was with comics and with hip-hop. It was more like, I really dig this, and it's fun, and it would probably be fun to do a comic strip, you know, but it was, didn't really go beyond that, you know. So I never, like, developed, like, a passion for it, I guess, exactly, but I always was a fan of it and enjoyed it. But yeah, so he was famous kind of for standing up and being like, you know, no, I won't, you know, license my, you know, Calvin and Hobbes out to every little thing and merchandise the crap out of it, you know. You see, a lot of other comic strips have done that, you know. Even like Peanuts, you know, Peanuts is a huge, I mean, they got Snoopy's and, you know, Charlie Brown's and stuff, like, all over, like, every possible surface that something can be printed on, they have printed stuff on. And, you know, from coffee cups to, like, lunch boxes, everything. You guys know. And he's done a cartoon, and he's done, you know, there's plushies and toys. And they're even, you know, they have Snoopy, like, advertising on for, like, MetLife, or they used to, at least. And, you know, I mean, it's just licensed out to everything. And, you know, I've always thought that, I kind of have been okay with all that. But, you know, Bill Watterson, you know, he went on record for saying, I'm not doing any of that, not even one little bit of it. I mean, you know, Hobbs is a stuffed animal, you know, and he didn't even produce a stuffed animal. I mean, that would at least make a lot of sense. You know, how many people would like a little Hobbs plushie, you know? But there's no official one that exists. People have made bootleg ones and stuff, but, you know, and it only makes sense. I mean, that at least would be, like, right. That wouldn't even be compromising that much, you know. But anyway, so there's that, and, you know, people would like, I'm sure, to have seen an animated version and different things like that, but he's never licensed to anything. And, you know, his argument is he makes the comic the way he wants it to be, and that's how he wants it to be portrayed. It's made for the comic. And, you know, that's how I want people to experience Calvin and Hobbes. That's the only way. That's the, you know, way it was meant to be expressed. And if it's on all this other stuff, it, you know, it kind of cheapens the whole idea. And, you know, I really respect that view, you know. And it goes a little against what I kind of thought I would do with my comics, you know. I do feel like I would like to license things out. And, you know, basically, any way I can create a different stream of income through the properties I create, that's kind of what I want to do, you know. But I'm not saying I'm not making the comic for the comic's sake. That's the heart of it to me, you know. That's the hub of it, and that is the fun part. But it's not, business wise it's not going to be the main thing that makes money. It just isn't. Comics, I mean, unless I somehow become wildly successful with the comic, you know, it most likely will not, you know, be the main money funnel. Unfortunately, you know, comics just don't work that way very well. Not lately, at least. Excuse me. But, you know, Bill Watterson, and that's kind of where my argument would lay, like, well, first of all, let me not go into that just yet, but, you know, but I do really respect his thing, and, you know, it did make me think, you know, will I be cheapening my character and, you know, my creation by having it all over everything? And so what that made me think is, you know, I want to make sure that I'm not, like, going so crazy to the point where it's like peanuts. Like, some people feel like that Snoopy being the mascot for MetLife or something, you know, really cheapens that. And I can see that. I can see that how that kind of compromises the integrity of and the character. You know, you kind of feel like, oh, now Snoopy's corporate instead of, you know, this, you know, down to earth, you know, comic strip. The whole Peanuts thing, you know, has gone corporate, and you get a different feel. It's kind of like when you have like an artist or any kind of hero that does something wrong, you know, and then you kind of feel differently, and it kind of ruins it for you. You know, you'll still kind of like them, like, I don't know, like Michael Jackson, I love his music. But, you know, when all the stuff started coming out that, you know, maybe he's doing some foul stuff, you know, it's, even though it may not be true, you tend to think that when people are accused of stuff, maybe it probably is true. But at the same time with him, he's so huge and popular, he was, that, well, I guess he still is, but that, you know, I could also see the point that maybe people are just suing him just to get money, you know. So it's hard to say, but he did so many weird things that, like, if he wasn't, he still was doing some pretty weird things that maybe weren't morally wrong, but were, like, kind of on the edge of being not so great. So, anyways, I don't want to talk about him, but, like, but, you know, if you're licensing out your character, it's not exactly the same as somebody doing something, like, morally wrong or whatever, but it's got a similar feel. It might kind of ruin things a little bit for you. So I can see that. And so, like, my answer to that would be, you know, be more selective, you know, do things that make more sense. Like, I was talking to Michael Vallad, so I was like, he's like, that's kind of how I feel, like the way Bill Watterson feels. And, you know, and I was like, huh, that's interesting. And then I was like, well, what if, you know, say McFarlane Toys all of a sudden approached you, you know, because your comic's wildly successful, and said, oh, I want, and before I could even finish the sentence, he was like, oh, absolutely, I would do that in a heartbeat. Like, that's like one of my, you know, I'd love to do that. That's almost like a goal of mine. Like, so, but that makes a lot of sense, though, because his character, Dorian, is, like, totally, like, the type of character that I think, you know, McFarlane Toys would do, you know, with the crazy details and stuff, and it would look freaking awesome. Like, and it would only add to, I think, the whole story and character and comic altogether, you know. It wouldn't take away, you know, and it would, I don't know. So, and then the money thing, I think, would be fine too. It wouldn't be like he's, you know, prostituting his character out, you know. So anyways, so that's kind of what I'm thinking as far as, like, you know, licensing. I do want to do a lot of licensing and or just other ancillary products, and I still don't know how to say that word. You know, just stuff that relates to comics, but isn't necessarily Glyph. You know, I definitely want to do, like, Glyph figures and Glyph animation stuff or whatever I can do, you know. But, you know, I guess I would make sure that those products are complementary, you know, and not, you know, don't take away from the character. Because, you know, I don't know, I can see that, you know, by seeing his point of view, and it just made me second guess, you know, don't go 100% all out, be selective, you know, if those opportunities ever present themselves, which I've got a long way to go for something like that. But, so, I mean, that's not necessarily just the only part of the topic, but, you know, it got me thinking a lot about, you know, doing art for the sake of art. And, you know, when art was just a hobby, which, I mean, it still technically is, because, you know, I only make a few dollars here and there once in a while, but, so I don't call that a business. It's not a business until it's making profit, and I'm sure I put more money into my art than I get out of it. You know, I doubt it's making a profit at any point. But, you know, so, but, you know, when I, but I've been trying to make it a business. So, like, there's kind of a different mindset, a different mode. Sometimes you do art, like when it was just a hobby, I would just do art for fun, you know, when I felt like doing it, when the muse struck. But doing it for business, you have to learn how to do it whether you feel like it or not. And it becomes more work than it used to be and less just fun. Even though when you do the work, it's still kind of fun, you know, because you're doing something you enjoy. You know, doing art just for art's sake, you know, it's hard to know when I'm doing that and when I'm not. And I think that it's important to still be able to plug into that, that mode. Because I think if doing art for business sake is your motivation, it starts to feel empty, you know, and hollow. Those two words both mean the same thing. Redundancy. But, you know, I think we have to learn how to still patch into that, you know, and that whole idea of just doing it for its sake. The thing that I've been thinking about is, I just keep thinking about how comics is just such a horrible business, you know, plan, you know, like, my goal is to make a living doing art. Like, that's what I really want to do. And I also really want to make comics, and comics don't make a lot of money, and they're really hard to make, and they're slow to make, and there's so much that goes into it. So if I were to make a lot of money doing it, I'd have to be super prolific and get stuff done quickly, and even then, I'd be lucky to make anything from it. So it's like, and plus my skill level isn't even up to the task at this point, you know. I mean, it is to make little mini comics, and, you know, I'm working on getting better, you know, but, you know, I don't consider my comic abilities at pro level yet. Not to where I would like them to be, at least. You know, I'd like to, there's definitely some leveling up I'd like to do, and, you know, I'll never rest on my laurels, and I'll never stop wanting to learn, but, and stop trying to get better, but I think there is a certain level of pro-ness that I could achieve that would make me at least feel like, okay, I can do this, and kind of compare it to some of the stuff that's out there, and it looks, you know, good enough at least. You know, I'm kind of still, and I think part of the reason I'm still at this amateur level is I don't take my time, you know. I try to get stuff out too quick sometimes, but I don't have a lot of time, you know, so, and I want to be productive, so there's always that. But so the money pressure is there, you know, because my goal is to make a living doing something other than I'm doing right now. And I want to make more money than I'm making right now. I can't go down. I have to go up as far as money goes. I'm, you know, barely making it by sometimes. I do get a lot of, you know, some extra stuff here and there, but there's a lot of things that need to be taken care of. Like, I don't have a chunk of money to fix a car, or to, like, I don't have that kind of luxury to be able to get, you know, for a couple hundred dollars to do this or that, you know. So, and I need to get things done, and I don't know. There's a lot of stuff. So that pressure is there to make money with the art. So it's like, how do I just make art for art's sake and keep the business stuff in mind as well? I'm going to have to pause it here. So it looks like I lost the last part of the podcast. Awesome. So now I have to kind of improvise and try to tag back onto the comments, the things I was saying before, but I think I can. I think I can. Let's see. So yeah, so that's the kind of the struggle, always, you know, trying to do your art for art's sake, but at the same time, you know, those money pressures come in, and, you know, Bill Watterson was at a certain point where he could make that decision to not, you know, license and stuff. He was making enough money through the comic that, you know, I'm sure he was well off. And he sold the, you know, the books and stuff too. So, you know, he had a kind of a good situation. So that's awesome that, like, he was able to. And I mean, maybe he had this initially from the start too, you know, where he was just like, I'm just not going to do it. I don't care. But, you know, he did work commercially earlier. I don't know if I think I already covered that, but anyways, so I don't know. You know, I think that, you know, that pressure is something that's hard to focus. It's actually not that hard. It's kind of weird. What it is like you kind of get in the zone, I think, you know, being an artist, and I don't know how it all works, like, scientifically, but, you know, they always talk about the right and left side of the brain and all that, that book, and, you know, you kind of get in this zone. I mean, if you're an artist, you're, like, already kind of wired that way, I guess, so it's, when you're doing the art, you don't really think about the marketing part of it as much, like, when you're actually doing the work, if you're an artist, or if you are doing, even if you're working commercially, I don't know, this is what I've experienced, you guys can tell me, you know, a lot of you guys have had a lot more experience working with clients, and commercial stuff and all that. I, you know, I've only had just a little bit here and there, but, you know, doing, when you sit down to actually do the art, even if you're working for that client specifically to make, like, an advertisement, you're thinking about aesthetic things, design principles, proportion, you know, how you're going to render it. A lot of times layout and design are a big part of it. But those are all artistic considerations for the most part. And there's some business stuff that comes into that too, but, you know, like, what's going to have the best impact and the most visibility, and what's going to stand out amongst the crowd of other ads and stuff like that. But I think you want to do that anyways with your art. I mean, it really depends on what kind of artist you are too. I think a fine artist maybe isn't so focused on that kind of aspect, but anybody who does illustrative design or work is going to be considering those things, and they are kind of artistic considerations. So, you know, and the reason I say, like, fine artists might not as much is, you know, they have kind of, when I'm doing something more in the fine art realm, you know, I'm more thinking about, like, expression and even just working from reference and just pure aesthetic things. Like, it might not even be something that I would ever sell. It's just something I'm working on in my sketchbook or, you know, playing with the medium and stuff like that. It's a lot more experimental, or can be, I guess. So yeah.
So I think there is a virtue, you know, to just pure art for art's sake. And but I don't really think that commercialized versions of that are selling out. I mean, it's really up to you to decide that as a artist or as, you know, one of these trolls critiquing everybody's stuff on the internet. But personally, I think finding a way to make a living with your art is actually a pretty pure thing. Like, I mean, what's better than that? Like, I'm not, you know, feeding, you know, if, you know, I do this, I'm not feeding into just a greedy empires and like corporations and stuff. I'm not just building things so that, you know, we can make more money and building more houses and, you know, tearing down trees and all that stuff. I'm not building weapons, you know. I mean, the only other thing that, so it's like, it's actually a pretty noble thing to try to make a living doing art, you know, especially if it has to do with like intellectual properties and stuff, because you're creating things, you're building new things into the world, and you're teaching and you're entertaining and bringing fun and awesomeness to the world, basically. So you're actually kind of doing something good, I think, and there's no, you know, reason why somebody shouldn't expect to get reasonably financially compensated for that. And I know if somebody contributes to my life in any way, you know, if I have some money, I like to try to throw some their way, even if they do something for free or whatever, you know what I mean? So, you know, I guess that's kind of the crux of that. And with my thing, what I'm going to be doing, and I think, you know, I think about the Art of War book, or the War of Art book, and how he's talking about, like, you just got to put your thing out there. And I don't know if I covered this yet, because, like I said, I somehow lost part of the recording, but, you know, in the end of the book, he talks about that, like, that you kind of need to do whatever it is that the muses are telling you, whatever it is that you're most passionate about, because that's kind of what you've been put on this earth to do. Like, this is, and, you know, depending on your view and your beliefs and stuff, you can think of it maybe a different way, but, you know, for me, you know, it kind of goes along pretty well with my, you know, religious beliefs anyways. You know, I always say, like, I feel like I've been created to be creative. And I do feel that, like, I've always had, like, these crazy ideas, and every time I have any idea to do anything, it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger until I'm, like, gonna take over the world with it, and then it's too overwhelming, and then I don't end up doing it, so, but I just have that type of mind that's geared to, like, envision crazy things, and just, I don't know, and I think we all kind of have that, you know, in different capacities, and in different, you know, even in different fields that have nothing to do with art and stuff, you know, so, you know, I feel like it's almost like a mission, you know, to, like, I have to do this because this is kind of what I was put here to do. So, you know, I still have money concerns, but that kind of encourages me a little bit, you know, and I'm sure there's a different way you can think about it if you don't believe in, like, God and stuff like that. You know, you just, I don't know, but I guess you guys can figure that out, but, but it's like, you know, if that encourages me, because I feel like, okay, so, I do have money concerns. I mean, I'm making it by, I'm doing all right now, so, like, I'm not, you know, I'm struggling a little bit here and there, but, like, I'm surviving fine, you know, and I got more than I could ask for, really. Like, yes, things are hard sometimes, but I get a lot of, like, comics and, like, I've been buying people's t-shirts and, you know, I try to support other artists and I, you know, whatever. So I have, you know, we're really lucky just to even live in America. You know, we, even when we're struggling, we're in abundance, you know, so. So I count my blessings and so I do have the luxury to a certain extent to say, okay, let me just pursue this, you know, and feeling that, you know, maybe I kind of have to, like, if I don't, I'm, like, kind of taking something away from the world, or at least not putting something into the world that, you know, I kind of was supposed to do, put in. There's actually other, like, parables and stuff in the Bible that talk about that, too, like, being faithful with what you have, you know, basically, and there's a lot of stuff on that, and then, so, you know, I kind of think of those things as well, and, you know, I gotta use the gift that I've been given, you know, and I'm not saying the gift is I'm an amazing artist, but the gift is I have this desire to do this, and I don't have a desire really to do other things, you know, it's mostly the music and art stuff, you know, when I think of other things, I'm like, oh, yeah, that might be cool, but then it just loses steam, and I end up working on my art instead, and I forget about it, you know, so, but I always just can't, it's like compulsive, like I just can't not work on my art or music, you know, it's like, even if I try to do other things, I just always end up procrastinating by doing my art and music or something, you know, that type of thing, so, it's like, that's what I need to be doing, and I need to just not think of the, I'm thinking about the business stuff, I'm trying to be smart, I want to, like, structure it in a way where it'll make money, and there's a lot of ways I'm thinking of how I can do that, but, and I think I have a responsibility even to do that, to be a good steward of everything I have, every ability I can have, and every opportunity I have to learn. So the business part is a big part too, but at the same time, you know, I have to make those things that, like, I have those visions for, and that's what I'm doing now. And, you know, Donkey Jaw Projects is meant to be that, you know, and I actually been really having some fun time world building this past week, and I think it was even after I recorded the initial parts of this podcast, and, you know, just thinking about Glyph and, you know, those properties, and then I have some, like, an offshoot property I want to work on a comic for, and, you know, I'm always having crazy tons of ideas, you know, for all stuff even that's not Glyph and whatnot, and then, but I was also thinking of some interesting ways to, like, include the music into it and almost, like, have the whole Glyph world kind of become this thing where even when I send out, like, a newsletter, it's almost like a newsletter from Bap City, which is the city in the world that Glyph lives in and whatnot. So, like, the news reports will even be, like, fake reviews of, like, some music that a character from the comic or whatever created, and then I'll create that music and put it out, like, on iTunes and all that stuff, but it'll be under that name or whatever, so it's like these things will kind of come to life as their own little other things, and they'll be also in the comics, so it'll all go back and forth and stuff like that. And that was a loud freaking motorcycle or something that just went by. But yeah, I mean, I just, that was something that I've been thinking about, and I just have a lot of characters in mind, and, you know, there's a lot of stuff I want to do with music and as well, so, you know, but I need to put those things into the world. Like, if I'm not doing that, why am I, like, if I'm not taking the chance, taking this opportunity, this life, to try to do something awesome like that, then what am I doing? Like, if I'm just surviving, what's the point? You know what I mean? I feel like there is a certain aspect of life of that has to do with, like, kind of fulfilling a purpose, you know, doing what you need to do and what you want to do. I mean, you know, I mean, so that's kind of what I'm thinking. Also, I was talking earlier about trying to get proportions right with art and stuff, and I actually asked Jeff Lafferty that question on a YouTube video, and he actually answered it as well. So, in the show notes in this episode, I will put his link to that video that answered the proportion questions. Definitely some interesting things that will, I think, help me to get those right. And I've been doing a lot of art and stuff. I'm trying to, like, really work hard. I started my new sketchbook for August on August 1st, and I've been plugging away at that, and I want to complete a sketchbook every single month from now on, because I just want to level up, and I'm not sure if I already said that before, but yeah, so I'm excited about that. Been working on that, and working on comics for the most part, and you know, this glyph thing, I've been getting a lot of work done on it, way more than a half an hour a day for the last few days, trying to pump that out so I can get all the pages drawn. I'm really close. I'm like 5 or so pages left in for it being drawn and inked. It's all drawn and inked already. I'll have to go in and maybe do some more background work, and then I gotta go in. That's why I want to get this done as quick as possible, because once that part's done, then I gotta go in and do the lettering, the inking, and then I gotta have it all set up for print, and I have to fix some things in the first two comics too for print. So, because I want to do, you know, print up a bunch more books before the con. You know, not like crazy tons of them, but, you know, enough. So I have that, plus, like I said, I have some gifts I have to work on and all that stuff, so I got a lot of stuff to do. But I mean it's only August 2nd, and I've got a lot of stuff almost done, so, you know, I'm just gonna keep plugging away every single day and see how far I can get. This month's gonna be fun. It's gonna be a lot of busyness, but it's also gonna be like me producing more stuff than I've, like, ever produced before in a small amount of time. So, and I'm just super excited about it. So yeah, that's about it, guys. Thank you guys for listening. Sorry I was kind of meandering and stuff too much, but, you know, it is what it is. I also have a comic in a new, the Young and the Dead number 2 from Scott Serklin in the other day, and I did a YouTube video about it, but, you know, I'm mentioning it here too. I'll put a link in the show notes. You can go grab some of his stuff, check out his stuff. The Young and the Dead is a really cool book. I got the first one through the mini comics challenge that they did in Art and Story back in the days, and, you know, it was really, I was super impressed by that book and the story and just the production value. Everything was just amazing, and he's really good at this stuff, and he's got a really cool thing with the Young and the Dead, and he sent me a lot of extra goodies too, which was fun. And it's like an artist edition, so there's like a piece of art in there and all that stuff for a pretty good price, only $10, you know. Really awesome. So, you know, thanks Scott for that. And you know, we're gonna I'm gonna put his link in the show notes, so you can check that out. And yeah, that's about it. Been talking for a while on this one. And oh, the reason why I brought him up too is he's also lined up to be on an interview. So you got a few people lined up, and that's another thing I got to get to this month, is doing some interviews. So we'll see how that works out. But yeah, that's about it, guys. You guys are awesome. Thank you for listening, and I will talk to you on the next Escape Artist Podcast next week. Later. Bye.
Background music provided by Mr. Poole. You can find show notes at donkeyjawprojects.com, where you can also sign up for the newsletter. If you'd like to support, go to patreon.com/plex or go to iTunes and leave a review. And thank you so much for listening. Now get your butt out there and make some awesome stuff. It's Escape Artist.